it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The pads are on, the helmets are on. They're practicing football in Corvallis. Oregon State football coach Jonathan Smith is our guest. What does that sound like? It has to be a sweet sound when you hear pads at practice.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, long time coming. First experience of complete full pads this morning. Was a bunch of fun, physical. I know the guys really enjoyed it.
What is, right now, offenses or defenses? I would expect defenses to be ahead of offenses. Is that what you're seeing at practice, or is it hit and miss?
Yeah, a little bit ahead defensively today, there's no question. Which is a little, I kind of anticipated watching these games that are taking place currently in other conferences, the same thing, defense being a little ahead, but it doesn't seem that way. I mean, people are scoring punches of points. But for us today, defensively, shoot, got a few turnovers, and, you can just tell the timing and protection, some things to work out offensively.
Give us an idea when you say, the defense was ahead defensively today. What did you see that you really liked from the defense?
Well, you could see on the execution. So the way we practice, we're doing some individual skill development, but then we turn into, like, team periods, and we're running plays against each other. And we did a segment, I think it was at 20 reps, and, 16 of them were defensive wins. I mean, incompletion, sacked the quarterback, had a couple turnovers. And so when that starts taking place, you can just feel like, today defense got your number.
It is a weird season. And even in the NFL, I'm watching games where I don't always think the best team wins, and screwy things are happening, and the kicking game's off at times, and offenses are off at times, and defenses are blowing coverage at times. How do you prepare a team to compete amid that? Because I feel like you have to have attention to detail on every play, or you're going to give up seven, or maybe you can get seven on any play.
Yeah, there's no question the details matter. Even as coaches, the way we've been looking at things is that does that mean we want to scale down the amount of, plays or coverages we're running so that we can make such an emphasis on a smaller amount that we'll have the details right? Because you're correct. I mean, I look at special teams, there's block punt here, field goal, block, punt, on just small things that matter, blown coverages we can't have. So it's in the back of our mind as we're going through this to maybe look at how much volume of scheme we're having.
If I was going to ask you, forget formations, but just basic plays that you could run out of different formations with different motions and different looks, if you were really going to ultimately simplify down, like you and I had a bet, how few plays could you run in a game? Like, how thin would that playbook be?
Yeah, I'd get down there, man. I mean, you try to make the same scheme. So, like, let's talk in the run game. You're running outside zone, let's call it. You'd try to run outside zone 6 to 8 different times, but make it look different by the formation, by the motion, maybe by the action in the backfield. But it's all the same for the old line. And that's one way you can not do a whole lot, but make it look different.
Jonathan Smith with us. I have a wild theory about the NFL and why quarterbacks are going nuts with touchdown passes and looking so good. I think it has in part to do with the quiet stadiums. You can hear the safeties talking to each other. You can hear the quarterback in the red zone. He's not dealing with 65,000 people. Do you think that plays a role, that the glorified scrimmage feel, will it benefit quarterbacks in the Pac-12 if there's no fans in the stadium?
Yeah, I think it's a benefit. If you play without noise being a factor or the crowd being a factor. So half our games would be on the road where the crowd would be. I mean, especially thinking about the places we're going to go. I mean, we're going to go to UW and Utah, the first two road games. I mean, those places are tough in regards to crowd noise normally. So it's a definite advantage for the Q.
And as a quarterback in a scrimmage situation, like I guess from the you're watching motion, you want to know what coverage the defense is in, you want to know, how free is a quarterback in your system to check out of plays? How much, you know, how much audible freedom would Tristan Jebbia have on a game-to-game basis?
Yeah, yeah, he's going to have to work to earn more opportunity. And so where I'm going on that, he's definitely going to do some. And some of the plays, he's going to call out the line of scrimmage himself. But after that, as the more he studies, the more comfortable he gets, the more recognition he has will give him more autonomy to change plays. He's definitely not changing every play. But like I'm getting at, as we get into this thing and he gets really comfortable, and we're confident in his decision-making, we'll allow him to maybe 40, 50% of the time be able to change plays.
Did you do that with Dennis Erickson's system? Did he give you that freedom and trust?
He did allow me to have some flexibility in 2 minutes. How about that? When the game's off the line, he allowed me to have some flexibility. Before that, it was pretty minimal.
I love that. Jonathan Smith is with us. All right, your quarterbacks, let's break it down. How competitive? You want good competition, right? You also want to breed confidence with the guy who's going to start for you. How competitive is it right now?
It's competitive. Chance Nolan's put a couple of days here that he looks pretty sharp. You can tell that he's just getting more reps and getting comfortable, made some really good throws. So I think it's pretty competitive. I mean, Ben Golmerson, our freshman, he's in there and he's getting some turns, and as a true freshman, operating pretty well. And then Nick Moore might have the biggest play yesterday in practice. So it's pretty competitive, and I like what you're talking about because you want it competitive, but you want to build some confidence. But I feel strongly that, yeah, if it's really competitive and then you come out on top, you're going to have a bunch of confidence. And that's what we're hoping takes place with our group.
It's like raising kids. It's like parenting. Like, you want to be tough on them, but you also want them to be confident. And those two things walk hand in hand, don't they?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting you say it that way because, you want to coach them up. But I want to come down on the kids sometimes when it's, they fall short. But then I always start thinking about myself when I was 12 or 10 and some of the stupid stuff I did. you try to talk them through it versus coming down real hard on them.
The schedule comes out, you have a season, your first phone call, aside from, your athletic director or whoever informed you, hey, we're coming back. Who's the first person you call when it's time to start making plans?
Right. That's interesting. It felt like, the 48 hours leading into the thing, we kind of had a pretty good idea that we were going to play. And then had a really good idea that we were going to kind of go play the North. So I don't remember specifically someone I called. I definitely was talking to our staff. And, once you're going to play, you start scheming and all, who do we play? Have we studied these guys enough? And this and that. But I know that first team meeting after it was announced, these guys were pretty fired up. You could see it in the faces, comments in the chat, because, of course, this thing's on Zoom. They were fired up.
Do you like Zoom? Are you done with Zoom? You ready to be done with Zoom?
I say that, yeah, I'm kind of over Zoom, but there is some convenience sometimes to hey, let's have a quick meeting and you don't have to wait till everyone can gather together. You can just, get a meeting done in 10 minutes and it can be pretty efficient.
Somebody asked me today, they said, if you do a 15-minute Zoom meeting, how many minutes of actual good content are you getting? And I said, probably 4, and the rest is, hey, how are you? And then there's some back and forth, but you got 4 good minutes out of that. It's kind of like meetings in person. I'm not a meeting guy anyway. Are you a meeting guy?
No, I always kind of try to keep it to a minute. We do it, but I don't want to sit there. Let's say you have a meeting for an hour. As this football staff, we've got close to 20 people on these meetings. Well, you think that's 20 hours of work that could be taking place. So we're pretty quick. I'll have a staff meeting here at 2, and it'll probably be 10, 12 minutes at the max to cover the next day and injury report and strength coach talk and recruiting, and it goes pretty quick.
We're talking to Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's head football coach. I feel like it's wide open. I know everybody picks the teams that they like to pick in the polls. Those polls are rarely right. I feel like the continuity you have at head coach, coordinator, you have a quarterback who started that last football game you played in. How valuable is that trio when it comes to continuity and success maybe in this season?
Yeah, I think it's huge for us. I really do. With you're getting just the continuity from the scheme to the coach to the players knowing the coach knowing the players, in regards to what they do well, what they need to work on. There's some trust that's built over time. And yeah, we got, you know, Tristan, you mentioned for the one start, but I just look at a lot of different positions. We got a lot of returning players. I mean, there's a bunch of snaps in that Civil War game on defense that all 11 guys are returning. And so we've got some guys that have had some experience, needed to grow, you know, and make some strides. And we feel like in year three here, we got a chance to even be a whole lot better than we were last year.
I remember year one, it was, let's see what we have. And then last year is, we want to be competitive, right? We want to be in games. What is this year sort of the feeling of success for Oregon State football?
Yeah, I want to go in each week feeling like we're going to win the game and improve from week one to week six, seven. You know, you think about last year, we had some close games early that we did not win. I want to be able to start faster and finish some games from the start, which, again, that's why you love playing these games, and they're going to be close. I mean, in this league, how competitive it is, I know there's a lot of unknown with the schedule and COVID and this and that, but I'm still seeing these games being really competitive, and where we are in year three, to get over the hump from game one.
I took my first grader out to the field yesterday, and she kicked the soccer ball around. She was really excited to get out there. How excited were college football players to get in a practice scenario, on a field, like away from the stuff that has sort of stifled them? And, you know, it's almost like they didn't think they were going to have a season, and suddenly there is one.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's still lingering even after five practices, how much guys are just enjoying, one, being around each other. And, you know, and competing and working and getting the opportunity to play and practice. It's been, like I say, it's been a long time coming. And there's a bunch of joy. And it's beyond just the players. I mean, coaches are loving just coaching. I mean, we hadn't been able to do this since early March and didn't think we were going to do it for, till 2021. So I think all of us are really appreciative and enjoying the moment each time we're out there.
Jonathan Smith with us. Before I cut you loose, what do you expect for that opening game, like, you know, preparation-wise, how different will it feel? Or when the game's kicked off, will it all of a sudden just be about playing football again?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's gonna feel different. There's no question with no crowd, no band. I know we're talking ambient noise, and there was some noise at home that goes up when we make a play or two. But I think at the end of the day, though, guys will feel safe, number one, when we're playing this game. And because they feel safe and they love it, they'll enjoy however it kind of feels atmosphere-wise to be able to just play games and compete.
Did you feel any impact or get any negative recruiting when you guys weren't playing? Were you hearing any of that chatter, or were you able to combat that by saying, look, we really care about kids, that's why we're not trying to rush to play?
Yeah, that was the line, there's no question. And look, I mean, we do heavily recruit the West Coast, and the majority of the West Coast wasn't playing. So I didn't see it as huge ramifications. But at the same time, if people had questions, well, why are these guys playing and you're not? It's the truth that it was about trying to make it as safe as possible. And we needed to get more testing to feel like we can make it safe.
Jonathan Smith, I appreciate you. I know you're going to join us regularly throughout the season. Good luck to you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, appreciate it, John.
Nice to hear from you. There he is, coach at Oregon State, Jonathan Smith. I have to think, like, look, remember when the wildfires hit? Of course you do. You looked into the skies, there was smoke in the sky, it was difficult to breathe. Even with the pandemic going on, we could go outside prior to the wildfires and the smoke being in the sky. And that smoke wasn't just smoke. It, to me, was reminiscent that there is property damage, there are lives at stake, there are firefighters out there somewhere in the wilderness that are fighting those fires. I was thinking about all that stuff. And when the smoke cleared, remember that? We got a rainy day or two. All of a sudden, we could see blue sky again after like 10 days of not being able to see anything. It was a breath of fresh air. Literally, a breath of fresh air. And I can remember going, I will never again take it for granted that I could see blue sky. I have to thank the football players when they got on the field after facing the possibility of not having a season, must have been joyful. There must have been a bounce in their step at that first practice or two. And I hope after five practices, it's still there. In fact, I hope it never leaves. Football players across the Pac-12 have to be feeling that. I'm hopeful. I'm also a little concerned, mildly concerned, like we all should be. Like, hey, apprehensive at least. Like, I hope they can pull this off without major ramifications. Don't want to see anybody get sick. Want the rapid results testing to be a smashing success and come away like the NBA did and going, you know what? They pulled it off. But that's where we are. Our big splash is coming up. Leave it here. Coming up at 1:30, Jim Edsall, CEO of Sport Oregon. He'll be joining us. Disappointing day for Sport Oregon. I think they'll celebrate probably the success of getting the regional. But I will ask Jim Edsall, the CEO of Sport Oregon, coming up at 1:30. I'll ask him what he thinks the perception of what's gone on downtown and the view of what's gone on downtown with lawlessness has to do with the NCAA not bringing a women's Final Four to Portland. They have passed on Portland. If you're just tuning in, if you missed the news today, the bid for 2025 and 2026 was on the table, and Portland was passed over. The Final Fours will go to Tampa and Phoenix, repeat hosts, and maybe the NCAA will just say, look, we're more comfortable with status quo. But tough day for Portland in the sports scene. It brings us to our big splash, the one thing you need to know.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash.
Well, it's a weird world, isn't it? The NFL has canceled the Pro Bowl for the first time since 1949. LSU Florida game scheduled for Saturday postponed after a COVID-19 spike. The world sometimes doesn't act in a way that sport fans want it to act. That came to fruition today for us, and I just talked about Portland getting passed over for a women's Final Four in 2025 and 2026. Portland will get a women's regional in 2024. We'll get the men's first and second round to be hosted at the Moda Center. But it's one of these moments where I look at the sports city that I think Portland could be, the sports state that I think we could be in Oregon. I think we've got great college basketball, great college football. We've got the small colleges that perform well. We have a track and field empire in this state. No surprise that the Olympic trials have been held in Eugene. You've got a mecca of track held at Oregon with the new stadium, Hayward Field and all that. Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. Under Armour's got a hub here. Nike and Adidas have their North American headquarters here. We've got a lot going for us. But amid that, I'm always wondering and thinking about what this city could be. I want to take a moment to step back and congratulate Jim Edsall and Sport Oregon. It's an entity that I think has grown so much from its days as the Oregon Sports Authority. It was toothless. It had no fight. It had no backbone. It had no spirit. It had no real leadership. And Jim Edsall has taken that entity and he has turned it into a hopeful Final Four destination. They're not done. They'll pitch this and spin this as, hey, we're moving forward. We've got our eyes on other things, and I commend them for that. I keep looking at the great sports cities around our country, bigger markets than this, bigger dreams too. And there is one constant in those cities. You had individuals, owners, general managers, investors who dared to dream big. And so I'm not here to begrudge the Portland Diamond Project, which has canceled a visit with Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, supposed to come here. He said, they don't feel like showcasing the city with what's going on in downtown. I commend Craig Cheek and the Diamond Project for making big plans. I commend Jim Edsall at Sport Oregon for making big plans. I look at Merritt Paulson, owner of the Timbers and the Thorns. High five to you, Merritt Paulson. You dared to dream big. You dared to attempt something big. In the spirit of Harry Glickman, who once upon a time stalled in a bathroom while trying to get the funding for the Trailblazers, went back for his raincoat, going to lock himself in the bathroom until the funding came through and the letter came through. Remember that story? The Blazers became a real, legitimate, bona fide NBA franchise. From attempts at the Delta Dome to attempts to bring a Winter Olympics to the Portland metropolitan area in our state to the Olympic trials in Eugene, to a basketball coach who once left George Fox to go to Oregon State to try to win with a bunch of walk-ons. I see you, Scott Ruick. Kelly Graves at Oregon, recruiting like nobody has before. Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith. There are some people in our state who dare to dream big. Keep on dreaming. That's our big splash. You're derailed today. Maybe you're a little sober with the idea that the Final Four, the women's Final Four at least, not coming to Portland anytime soon. Maybe you're left feeling hollowed out by the idea that, you know, Major League Baseball, a visit to Portland might be derailed by violent protests or rioters or lawlessness. But maybe in the end, what we should be doing is thinking about the people across our state, including the athletic directors at Oregon, Rob Mullins, Oregon State, Scott Barnes, University of Portland, Scott Lakem, Portland State, Valerie Cleary, who continue to make big plans. How about Valerie Cleary? The Viking Pavilion at Portland State was a pipe dream. Now they're playing basketball in it, getting ready for a season. Yeah, they're talking about a football stadium too. Where to put it? I wouldn't put it past Valerie Cleary to figure that out. You know why? She makes big plans. So the dreamers out there, keep making your big plans. Don't settle. Don't lay back. Don't, on a par five layup. Too many cities do that thing where they forget to dare big and dream big, where they make small plans and, you know, instead of going for it. I'm reminded, you know, by Henry David Thoreau, who I studied as an English literature major in college. Gosh, I hardly remember anything from any of those classes. But I remember Henry David Thoreau talking about daring big, daring to dream, daring to dream even though you might fall flat on your face. Athletes do it all the time. But I look at successful sports franchises and big sports markets, and I go, yeah, somewhere in there. Yep, you can find them. They are tent poles, people who make big plans. We got to find some more tent poles in our state. That's all I'm saying. All right, coming up, Punch and Audio. We'll have the best sound from all around. Enough of me waxing poetic. We'll also get a visit from Jim Etzel of Sport Oregon, who will join us to talk about what is next for the entity that is charged with trying to bring major sports events and entities.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.